Thank you, Brother Keith. I appreciate that. If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like to turn back to Nehemiah. And while we're in Nehemiah, I'd like to begin preaching this evening concerning the old gate. We preached this morning on the sheep gate, and we preached on the fish gate. Here tonight, I'd like to start at the old gate, so we're going to begin reading there in verse 6. As we stand to our feet tonight in honor of God's Word, chapter 3, verse 6. You'll notice the names in chapter 3 of Nehemiah are pretty tough, pretty complicated. And so I don't know if anybody really knows how to pronounce them. So we're going to pronounce them, and you wouldn't probably know if I pronounced them right or not. Right? So, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing them right, but I'm just pronouncing them. I don't see no Joe, and I don't see no Mark, and I don't see no Scott, anything like that. I've never understood in the Old Testament why they had to have such names as these. What happened to the old? Just the regular name. Anyway, verse 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Bezai of Muslim, and the son of Bezadah. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus here this evening. We thank you for the reading of God's Word. We thank you for just loving us and caring for us. And Father, telling us today, Lord, that you love us by your Word and through your Spirit. Father, there's none of us today that really know you as our Savior today that can walk out of here saying, I don't know that Jesus loves me. Lord, you made it very clear and very plain that you care for us. Father, no man cares for our soul. Like you do. And Father, we're asking you now, Lord, to open up the Scriptures, God, that we might understand them and God, make them clear to our hearts tonight. Father, we thank you for all those that come back and the interest in the Word of God, that God, you'd fill them with your Spirit, God, and you'd give them the words of God. Help their faith to grow. God, bless them for it. God, it's beneficial this evening, dear God, to be here because of the Word of God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here in chapter 3, verse 6, it mentions the old gate. This is the third gate. If you look, I hope you all have that picture of the gates. You'll find that at the beginning there is the old gate, and the sheep gate. And next to the sheep gate is the fish gate. Now, that is the way and direction in which every single person who ever gets saved will go. There's not another way that you'd go. You'd always go that way. When you go through the sheep gate and get saved, you'll find the next gate that you cross is the fish gate. There's no exceptions to that. There's no detours. There's no get off. There's no exiting. There's no side streets. There is just the fish gate. So when you get saved, you'll go into the fish gate. You'll become one who has a concern and burden for sinners. The next gate around the corner, if you see the corner, you'll see the old gate. And in that old gate, that is the gate that they put up because it led to the old paths of Jerusalem. The old paths of Jerusalem could be had or been gone through that old gate. Now, the old gate is on the northwest corner of the Temple Mount there on the site. And that northwest gate is the corner gate, they call it, from time to time. Now, this gate here led also to the new quarter of the temple. And so we find that the old gate leads to the new. And that's what the old gate is representing here. And so we find it very clear concerning the old gate. We find in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. And the Bible says about the old path, where is the good way and walk therein and you shall find rest for your souls. So we find the only way tonight that you're going to find any rest and peace in your Christian life is to walk through this gate, the old gate. Amen? And so with that being said, tonight there's a lot of things that of the old which would be for the beginning. For example, tonight, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the old gate that we need to go back to. We need to go back to creation, amen, that God created the world. We wasn't evolved. We wasn't hatched. We didn't come from no monkeys and from gorillas. We came from God. Amen? God is one who created us. And so we find in the beginning the old paths of creation. We find the old paths tonight there in Mark chapter 1. In verse 1 it says, in the beginning the gospel. So we got to go back to the old paths of when the gospel was. What is the gospel? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death and burial of Jesus Christ tonight. That's the gospel. There's not another gospel. There's not several gospels. There's one gospel. We got to go back to the old gate and go back to the old gospel, amen, that was from the beginning. Not only is it the old gospel, but I know it's in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, amen. We find there was one Word. There was one Word that was God and one Word that is God. We got to get back to the old gate, amen, so that we can go back to the Word, of the beginning of the Word. What did it say? At the beginning, what was the Word, and what did the Word declare? We got to get back in the old gate. We got to build that old gate back up and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to be convinced that evolution is the way we got here. I'm going to believe in creation. Amen? I'm going to believe that creation was 6 days, literally days, morning and night. I believe that with all my heart. I'm going to believe that the beginning of the gospel, amen, one gospel only tonight. That's of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. I'm going to believe in one Word tonight. There's not many words out there. There's one Word only tonight. I'm going to believe that. That's the old past. The old past is also in the beginning. The Bible says in Matthew 19:4, Jesus said, it wasn't so, but in the beginning was male and female. Tonight I'm going to go back to the old past and say, no, there's no such thing as same-sex marriage. No, there's no such thing today as man marrying man and woman marrying woman. Because in the beginning it was not so. It was the very fact that God made male and He made female. And He said in the beginning that you're to be fruitful and multiply the work. Amen? That's in the beginning. That's the old path tonight that we got to build back up. We got to repair that gate. We got to build that wall so that you and I can live on basis of the old gate. Amen? I know in the beginning, Jesus said in verse 8 of chapter 19 of Matthew, He says, from the beginning was not so, but because of the hardness of your heart that Moses gave you a divorce. We got to get back to the old gate. Divorce tonight is not an option for us. God says, I hate divorce. I hate putting away. Tonight, it seems like divorce is just an option among other options tonight, but not so with God. Not so. God's not into dividing. God's not into separating. God's not in putting off, but God's in together. Amen. God's into family. God's into unity, into harmony. We just got to get our hearts right in the home. And with that, we'll find that we got to get back to the beginning. Go back down to what we call the old gate tonight. John chapter 8, verse 25. Jesus said in the beginning, Jesus. And so we got to go back to Jesus. That's the old gate. That's the old path. Tonight. And turn your Bibles now to 1 John chapter 2. I want to read this to you tonight concerning this old path in the beginning, going back to the beginning. And so that's why that old gate was put there in Nehemiah's day, because they wanted to build up the old path. They want to get back to the old gate that led to the old path. It led also in the old path, there's new. But the old past brings forth the new. That's what we have to understand tonight. If you go back to the old paths, you're going to get some new things. But if you skip the old paths and go to the new, then you're not going to get anything. Here in 1 John, verse chapter 2, verse 7, Bible says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. Talking about the old gate here, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. And so we find there in verse 13, it says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 24, the Bible says, let therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If you which have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. There's so many verses there talking about you got to know from the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the start. Go back to the old. Amen. We find that in the old, we find that there's so many standards of the old that you and I need to pick back up. There's so many convictions out of the old that you and I need to pick up. We got there's the ways of the old. You ever heard like the old fashioned? The old fashioned gospel, or the old fashioned way, or the old fashioned revival. We hear the old fashioned this, the old fashioned. I get told a lot of times I'm old fashioned. You know, many things that I do. They say, I say amen to that. But the fact of the matter is, you ever heard of old timers? Go talk to the old timers. And hey, if you want to find a real good recipe of some kind of German chocolate cake or something, then ask the old timers. Amen. They know how to do it. Hey, if you know of a way about doing something or go back to the old timers, the old remedies, amen, of days gone by, of things that you can't use medicine anymore, or the medicine's so high that you go back to the old remedies and they work, amen. And so there's something about the old that you and I in this church tonight, we need to build up again the old gate. Stop looking for something new, amen. Stop looking for something that you don't have already. Stop looking for something different than what you have tonight. Just be settled with the old tonight. The old's the way to go. The old is the place we need to stay tonight. And for example, tonight, if you stay with the old, according to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, you're going to find that the old will bring forth the new. Now, the problem tonight in our society, in our churches tonight, is they want to skip the old to get to the new. Let me tell you some things that you get if you stay with the old. The Bible says in Psalms 43 that you'll have a new song. See, friend, you won't ever get a new song unless you go through the old path. You got to go through the old gate tonight to get the new song. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, in verse 22 and 23, the Bible says you'll have new mercies every morning. Friend, you can only get new mercies through the old path. You can't get new mercies on a daily basis going through the new way. The old path will also bring, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, you'll have a new heart and a new spirit. You'll find a new heart and new spirit coming through the old way, not the new way. You'll find in Acts chapter 17, verse 19, you'll have a new doctrine. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a new creature in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, all things become new. Ephesians 4, verse 24, you'll become a new man. Hebrews 10, 20, the Bible says you'll have a new and living way. And Revelation 2, 17 says you have a new name written down in heaven. Revelation 21, 5 says He'll make all things new when you get there. All these new things are coming through the old path and coming through the old gate. Amen. Hey, raise up in your life tonight the old Word of God. The old gospel, the old things of God that has been going on for years and thousands of years that just work, amen. This new gospel don't work. This new Christianity don't work. These new Bibles don't work. These new procedures don't work. These new methods don't work. This new preaching don't work. This new system of church don't work. It's the old path. Stay with the old. Oh, we need to build the old tonight. We find new through the old. Today, they don't want the new. I mean, they don't want the old. So what do? They come up with a new Bible. They don't want the old, so what they do is they come up with new worship. Today's worship in most churches tonight is not, I promise you, there are people tonight, if they could turn over in their graves, they would turn over in their graves. People who've died for the faith, people who have died in catacombs, being sawed asunder. People have been put on light poles and burned in the days of Roman emperors. Friend, they would turn over in their grave. All those tonight has been shot down by standing up or dug a big old hole back in the Reformation day and filled in thousands of Christians who believe in the doctrines that you and I believe tonight have died for the faith. Friend, they would turn over in their graves. In the sea of all of the worship that you find today in these churches, a new Bibles in which they were given, amen. You'll find today that that's not the way to go. You can see what that's doing. You can see what that's producing. You can see how well that's working, amen. Our world has not gotten holier. Our Christianity hasn't gotten better. Friend, because we need to stay with the old past, we need to get in the old ways, in the old places where we need to go back in the old gate tonight so that you and I can come to the place where this old worship, not having some sort of flesh, to kind of please. See, church tonight is not flesh and for flesh. The Bible says flesh cannot please God. The Bible says that no flesh will see God. We find tonight that in the majority of our doings, in the majority of our events, and the majority of things that we like and have pleasure with tonight, and things that we feel comfortable with, is all about the flesh tonight. But coming to church isn't flesh tonight. Preaching the Word of God isn't flesh tonight. Worship is not flesh tonight. Tonight, flesh is not involved in anything with God. God's a Spirit. And the Bible says the Spirit fights, or the Spirit is against or contrary to the flesh. And the flesh is contrary to the Spirit in Romans chapter 7. So there's a battle in between. You can't have your flesh and have your Spirit at the same time. Friend, the church is a spiritual thing. People don't get that. They think because we come here physically, and I got to come to church physically, and you know it's just me coming here that makes everybody happy tonight. No, you coming here don't make everybody happy tonight. It pleases God tonight, but you don't know of the spiritual impact that it makes in the life. Worship tonight is changing. There's a time when we come and we sing the songs of the hymns and songs and spiritual songs. There's a time when a man would pin his ears back and preach the gospel, preach the Word of God. There's a time when people would shout and say, amen, and glory to God, and come to the altar and confess their sin and get right with God, and homes would be restored and marriages would get off the rocks, and things, dear God, would begin to play, and God would begin to bless, and lives would begin to grow, and people would come to all that they ought to be and should be, and homes become happy again. We've got to get to the old. Stop trying to get something new today. God will give you new. You just get to God, and He'll get you new. Amen. New Bible, new worship, new church, new Christianity. But friend, you can only do that by removing the old. You see, this morning, or this evening, you can't get a new Bible unless you get rid of the old. You can't have new worship unless you get rid of the old worship. You can't today, you can't have a new church in the way that it forms, and the way, you know, today, church has become an organization. Church has become big business. Church has become today a place where we are giving it the thought process of how we're going to increase ourselves. You'll be amazed of all the stuff I get through the mail and even on my email concerning how to grow a church and how they got it planned to go in the way of how to not increase your sales, but to how to have more revenue and how to reach your customers. That's the words they're using. This is church. They call, say, who's the owner of your church, of your place of business? I tell them, Jesus. What's His last name? Christ. Well, who are you? I'm the pastor. Do you own it? No. Well, who's responsible? Jesus. That's not what I'm wanting. That's what you're getting, because that's all I got to tell you. Who's going to sign something? I'll sign something. But the ultimate, the one who's ahead of this is Jesus. They can't get the concept. But friend, preachers can't get the concept. They're running the church like a business. I mean, this is where they start out with this. They send a resume. There was a church that I was told the other day that they needed a pastor down here. They don't even call them pastors no more. They call them leaders. They need a leader down here at this one church down here off of Highway 6 down there, River Walk, River Point, River something. And so the water's dried up. They need some leader down there. Amen. So they put on the Facebook. They put out there on the internet or some social media. They say, let's send your resume and send what you can do and send this and send that. And that's how they're going to get their next pastor or next leader. That's not how the church works, friend. We don't work through resumes. We don't put out there and fleece out to the world, hey, we need a pastor at Glory Baptist Church. Anybody in the world interested in it? You know what the first question is for this guy? I was going to say something else, but I'm going to be nice. This guy who's trying to find a job, You know what the first question is? How much you going to pay me? Amen? You know what the first question is for a guy who's really searching for God, searching out the Lord, that God's laid His hand on him, put a call on him, gifted him to preach, and placed him in a church? You know what the first question is to those people? Is, listen, we're going to meet on Sunday. Will you be here? I don't care what you pay me. It's not about payment. It's not about money. But friend, when you treat it like a business, it's about money. So what happens is, you say, okay, we're going to pay you $50,000 a year. He said, ah, oh, forget it. I can get $75,000 somewhere else working down at the oil tool company. They're looking for money. I understand looking for money, but this ain't a business. This is a God's church, amen. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not how we run business. We don't have people in here that are managers and people here supervisors. And we don't have people in here because they ask me all the time, who's the supervisor? Who's the manager? Who's the manager of you? They ask me, who's my manager? I tell them, Heather. Then we need to talk to Heather. I said, good luck. I can't even talk to her. This new Christianity today, it don't have any of the old traits in it. It don't have the old-fashioned get saved any longer. I mean, friend, there was a time when this Christianity started with Christ. There's a time, friend, and I've seen it in my lifetime, with people, old dirty, rotten sinner would come. No good, low down to the core. Hey, man, you ain't got to tell him. He knew exactly what he was. And he bowed his knee and bowed his heart. You ain't got to say, please come down. You ain't got to say, I take you to lunch. I buy you a tie. I buy you something. Just come down here and get saved. And your wife really wants you to get born again. Your mom has been crying for 100 years. You really need to get saved. And boy, put pressure on them and say, listen, this is just the right thing to do. Friend, there was a day, man, when the Holy Ghost of God was so real. The preaching of God was preaching the Holy Ghost of God. And that conviction came upon them. The Word of God was given. Them two together, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, would put great conviction on that man's heart. He'd recognize he was a sinner. He recognized he offended God. He recognized that his sin will bring forth death. He recognized if he didn't get saved, he was going to die and go to hell. And nobody had to tell him anything. He rushed down to the altar. He rushed down at his knees. He came to the place for him where he lifted up to God and said, God, I'm a sinner, unsaved, headed for a devil's hell. I ask you to come to my heart and save my soul and be my Lord and my Savior. I want to live for you all the rest of my life. And they come to church and go to church and stay and continue and remain and be faithful and serve God until God takes them home. Amen. There's a lot of people leaving the church. I don't believe at all in my mind that God saves you and places you and moves you. All this nonsense of moving churches and because you're bent out of shape over this or over that tonight is a bunch of flesh. Can you imagine people go to Ephesus and you're at Ephesus and you said, I think I'm just going to go to Galatia because I just like that group of people a little better. Can you imagine what Paul would have said to them? How many verses do you have in the Bible that says that one church member went to another church? I've read the Bible a little while. I ain't found it anywhere. New. That's all new. Leaving the church and going to another church is all new. It used to happen. There was people, friend, and I know I'm harping on the same thing, but I just want to make one more point. There was people times ago, they didn't even have cars. They had horses and buggies. Some with feet. The time that it got to church was not an issue. They got up earlier. It wasn't that Sunday was a time of doing their chores and doing their games and playing all that they could. It was a time of church. Hey man, they would load up the kids. They don't mind, but in those days they had a bunch of them. And they load them up and they put them on the buggy and horse and they run on down to the church house and they're down there 4, 5, 6 hours on Sunday. Praise and worship and God, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and giving Him all the credit and all the glory. And when they got home, they went home full. Well, today we get in and try to get out. Today, friend, if we got to drive, people say, I ask people all the time, come to my church. They say, where's your church? I said, it's in Stafford. They said, whoa! Do you know? Do I know? Like I don't know.
Do you know it's about a 45-minute drive to your church? I said, I don't give a rip if it was 3 hours. I'm coming to this church. Well, aren't there any churches closer? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of churches closer. But it's just not the church that God wants me at. He wants me here. Hey, man, you ought to come and try. A lot of them don't know I'm a pastor. They know I'm a Christian. They don't know I'm a pastor. I don't tell them. I hope they just show up one day. And they say, oh, that's him. The old. Can I say the old? We need to build tonight. Rebuild the old gate. Rebuild the fish gate. Rebuild the sheep gate. I guess the question would be tonight is, have you entered into the old gate? Are you walking tonight in the old path? Are you still looking for something new? Give it up. God will only give you new through the old. The valley gate. And I know y'all probably say, I'm glad he's out of that one. Let's walk on to the valley gate. You know the valley gate, between the old gate and the valley gate is a distance. You see that? More distance than any other so far. You know, as the Christian life goes on, you got to come to the valley gate sooner or later. I mean, this valley gate is there on purpose right there at the lower end of your journey as a Christian. Now, verse 13, the Bible says, the valley gate repaired the Hunan. Now, this valley gate is where Nehemiah went first to assess the ruins. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley. So he went to this valley gate first. The valleys are the richest place for all assessments. Tonight, when you're in the valley, you're in the richest place that you can be in. I want to ask you something tonight. Have you ever seen a great harvest or a great garden on top of the hill? No. You know where you see the most vegetation? You know where you see the greatest of growth? You know where you see the greenest of green? And the most beautiful flowers and the greatest of fruit is in the valley. All that water runs down. All that nutrients run in. Well, it's the valley tonight and that gate that you and I have to bring back up. Let's walk through that valley gate. Let's stop trying to get God to get us out of the valley. Because we don't like valleys. Valleys seem to be the furthest from our mind because we want on the mountaintop. Can I say tonight, you can't live on the mountaintop? There ain't nobody in this room can live on the mountaintop. Now, the mountaintop experience is good? Oh, yeah. I mean, friend, there's some good times on the mountaintop. But I'll tell you something, that's not where you grow. That's not where you find humility. That's not where you find to be rich in Christ. You find in the valleys. You know, you find who you really are when you get humbled. The valleys will humble you. You know, tonight, when you're on the mountaintop and you got things rolling your way and everything's going good for you, we get pride. We get arrogant. We begin to live our lives as if we don't really need God. Now, we don't say that, and we don't mention that, but our actions reveal that. And friend, when things happen in lives, guess what happens? Even the lost do this. When somebody dies, never went to church, don't care about God, they're looking for a preacher to preach a funeral. Now, ain't that amazing? They can't stand me. So if somebody dies that they know that I know that knows me and all that and they ain't got nobody to preach it, they call Brother Larry. Man, I'm glad to preach it. I'm excited about that thing. Isn't it amazing tonight? The very one they can't stand has the last word to say about their loved one. They can't stand. They can't stand the preacher. But friend, when they want to have a wedding, they want to come to a church. And then they want a preacher to do the church with him. It's amazing to me. And they don't want to do nothing with God. They don't have nothing to do with God. But when they run out of money and when they need something to eat, they call me on my phone. "Hey, Pastor, how you doing? You doing good today? Everything's going well. I hope everything's going well with you." And I'm just sitting there listening, right, for one whole minute. Brother Keith, they're telling me how, hope they wish how great I'm doing this day. You already know something's up, right? Nobody calls me and talks like that. When somebody calls me, most says, "Hey, brother, let me tell you what's going on in my life." Right? I need to tell you something because I... But when they start telling you how great your day is, you're thinking, "Oh, boy." I let them talk. And first, my first question to them is this, is, "Where do you go to church?" "Oh, I go to church over in Ohio. I'm just running through here through Stafford. I'm down here at this little hotel down here, and I'm trying to get to my mom and daddy, and I got 16 children, and we're hungry, and we ain't got no money, and we already paid half the rent, but we need another half to get through the night, and then we'll be on our way in the morning. If you could come by here and pay this rent for us, we'd sure appreciate it." I said, "Where's your husband at?" "Oh, my husband, he is not here." "Well, it's evident that he's not here." I said, but where is he at?" He said, "Well, he left me, years ago, and he's just a no good guy." I said, "Well, what's your pastor's name?" "Oh, I haven't been there in some time. I don't really know." I said, what's the address and phone number to your church? I'm going to call them and tell them you're stranded out here in Stafford so we can get you some help." You know what they say? "Why are you asking me so many questions?" I said, "Why are you calling me? Why are you calling me wanting something? And now I'm asking you a few questions, you get all bent out of shape. Hey, that's something. You asked me a question, 'Can I help you pay for your rent?' And now I ask you a question, you're mad at me. Now, ain't that something, lady?" All the ladies call. The men don't call. They're a bunch of backward babies. Amen. They're a bunch of sissies. These men they got today, listen, Fred, they won't even call the bill collectors. They say, "Oh, honey, pretty precious bank that you ever seen. How won't you call the bill collector and tell them that we're going to pay on the 30th? The most ladies got to do the dirty work. Amen? That's the way it works. She talked to the guy said, "Oh, yeah, I'm in charge of my home. I sign things. I delegate that to my wife to call the light bill and tell them, 'Don't turn off our lights, give us one more week and beg for a week.'" Yeah, you're a man of man's man. You live in a, like a mouse. Amen. And I know tonight I'm not talking about that, but I got there. Fact of the matter is, I got to get back to the Valley Gate. That Valley Gate tonight is a place of richness. And the valley tonight is the best place tonight for strengthening your resolve. The Valley Gate tonight is the ideal to bring a humbleness and a grace about you tonight. Have you entered into the Valley Gate tonight? Have you? Don't get off on all my other stuff there. Stay with me on the Valley Gate. See what time it is? I bet you Brother George right now is just relaxing. 5 till 8. I'm going to call him and ask him. What was he doing at 5 till 8? He better be laying up in the bed somewhere. Valley Gate. You agree with me, church? We need to build a Valley Gate. We're often too running from the Valley Gate. But we need that gate. God, give us that gate. Fifthly tonight, the Dung Gate. Now, the Dung Gate, if you notice, has a little distance between the Valley Gate. And the reason why is tonight, because when you get the old gate, you'll find that in your life as a Christian, you're going to come into a valley. It might be a little while before you get to the valley, but you'll get to the valley. Now, when you get to the Valley Gate, you'll find in your Christian life, you're going to learn some things about you. You're going to learn that you're not as spiritual as you think you are. You're going to learn that you're not a spiritual Sam or Sue. You've got to learn that there's some things in your life. I know you've been pointing at everybody else, but there's some things in your life that just don't belong there. Through that Valley Gate, you'll find that God is honing in and making you precisely like His Son. It's going to be hard because you've got to go through the fire. But in that valley gate, when you get humbled and when you find the grace of God there, you're going to finally come to the place where you're going to need a dung gate. Now, what was the dung gate? Well, everybody knows what dung is. I'll have to explain to you what dung is. In the days of Nehemiah, that was where all the rubbish and all the trash and all the filth of that city. Do you know tonight that if you didn't clean out the city out from that dung, that city would become contaminated? And that whole city, Brother Raymond, would become unhealthy. The only way you and I tonight can stay healthy is to get rid of our dung. Amen? To get rid of the trash in our lives. To get rid of the rubbish tonight. To get rid of those things that just mean nothing. We're holding on to them. It's like those little trinkets. The other day, Debbie was going through our garage because we moved and had a bunch of boxes still, and she's trying to get to them. She ran across some cards. Now, Debbie keeps every single thing in all of everybody's world. I mean, listen, man, no, I'm talking about anything that the kids did in kindergarten. It's in a box somewhere. It don't matter if that what they did in Sunday school. It's in a box somewhere. Every card I ever gave her, and she uses that against me. You got to be careful, guys, what you write in the card. 20 years later, it may come back on you. The other day, she told me, she said, I found a bunch of cards that everybody gave me, you know. I kept yours. Oh, great. I kept Kevin's and I kept Heather's. I threw everybody else's away. It just wasn't needed. Just wasn't necessary. And there's things in our lives tonight. You keep on holding on to them. But it's just rubbish. It's just dung, amen? Let's get cleaned up. Let's get this stuff out of our city. And let's become healthy again. Let's become strong again. Let's put away those things that are going to create us to be unhealthy, contaminated. I say to you that everything exited out of the valley of the dung gate. Listen, friend, nothing goes through the sheep gate that's like that. Nothing through the fish gate. Nothing through the valley gate. Everything tonight that is of rubbish must go through the dung gate. You've got to take this dung gate tonight serious. You've got to build it back up again. You're going to have to repair it again because in our lives tonight, we've got a bunch of dung. Amen? Now, isn't it kind of funny? It's called dung. You almost can't get more rude than that. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, how many of us just have dung all over us? Huh? We open our mouth, dung. We do an action, dung. Now I know some of y'all are going to say, when somebody does something now, dung, that's dung. You better find your dung gate because you need to get rid of that. That smart attitude, that sorry spirit you got, that sarcastic sassiness that you handle right there, dung, dung. Get the dung gate, pull out the dung gate. Hey, moms, if you want to, you ought to make it in your house and make a little gate and call it the dung gate. And when you go, they get to being rude and they get to being unsatisfied and they get to be rebellious, you say, hey, take that out the dung gate. Amen? I mean, I think that's a good idea. I wish I'd have done that. Matter of fact, we might even build one here at the church. Maybe put it over here, something by that door. So that attitude, go right through the dung gate right there. And we'll catch you out in the front. Just go right through the door, come around. Back that time, maybe your attitude be different. Huh? Woo! Oh, everything exited out of the valley of the dung gate, went to the valley of Hinnom. The valley of Hinnom is where all the waste was burned. That's where Baal, if you worship Baal, you take your little children and you worship them in the valley of Hinnom. Matter of fact, that's where they get that word Sheol from, Hades from. It's from this valley of Hinnom, which is our hell. Things that are garbage and trash and useless and toxic and dangerous, you're to put away and burn tonight. Anything and everything must be gone in our lives that is filthy. We got three scriptures. I'm not going to read them tonight for the time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 tells you to get rid of the filthy things of your life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, put away. We preached on that the other day. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's at the dung gate. That's how you walk through the dung gate. You say, I thought I had to make a real dung gate. How to walk through the real dung gate? No, all you have to do is confess your sins. You're going through the dung gate now. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's how you get rid of the dung in your life. You confess it to God. Not only do you confess it to God, but you confess it to one another. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. We're not doing that. A lot of families tonight, a lot of marriages tonight are in trouble because nobody's wrong. Dear God, somebody get wrong. I mean, everybody's right. Friend, that's not real life. I mean, even as the world turns, there's somebody wrong on there. Amen? I mean, there's somebody wrong on there. Say, I'm wrong. I messed up, man. You know, I did it. But in a lot of homes, a lot of minds of people today, they don't ever find themselves wrong. They ain't said, I'm sorry. And man, it's been so long, nobody can remember. Now they say, you're sorry. You can remember that. We did that yesterday. But to say, I'm sorry? To say, I confess that I did wrong, and God, I did wrong, I am wrong, get this dung out of my life, I listen, dear God, I pray that You remove the rubbish in my heart, and get out the filth out of my life, and to my spouse, to my brother and sister, to my children, to my employer, hey, I failed You, forgive me. We need to build that gate again, the dung gate. We ain't walked through that gate much, it don't seem. I mean, when's the last time you sinned? I don't know. I ain't murdered nobody. I ain't said a cuss word. I haven't looked at no dirty movies. I haven't committed adultery. Oh, give me some time on that. I'm just saying tonight we need the dung gate because we need help. Too much garbage is in our lives. Oh, can I say tonight, have you entered into the dung gate? The gate for clearing and cleansing of our sins to be free from the filth. I'm going to close with that. I got the other gates. We'll preach them on Wednesday. Tonight I just want you to think about the old gate. Have you been looking for new husband, new wife, new children? New ways of making money, new ways of showing love, new ways of serving God, new ways of making things happen? Just go back to the old. All the old works. It's worked for over 2,000 years now. Since Jesus was born. Why would you want to take something 2,000 years old and try to change it? How about the valley gate? Man, don't run from that gate. If you're in that gate, thank God for it. It brings grace and humility to your life. How about the dung gate tonight? Do we need to get some things out? Do we need to get some things confessed tonight? Do we need to make things right with each other? Tonight, there may be odds with one another tonight, I don't know. But I ask you tonight, come to the dung gate. Let's get this thing straightened out. Let's get into work together. Listen, church, we're a church. We're a family. I love you. You love me. And you ought to love one another. And tonight, we're going to go to heaven together. If you can't stand me much here, boy, I feel sorry for you there. I'm going to be visiting your mansion all the time. Hey, it's Larry. I might have a new name. I may not know that name, but I'll make sure you know who I am. You remember me? Oh, God, help us. Stand to our feet. You just be obedient tonight to the Lord. Whatever the Spirit tonight moves you to do, you just do. The Lord, the Spirit don't move you anywhere, you stay right there. If He does move you, you just move accordingly. Kind of remind myself tonight of Psalms 139. He says, Lord, search my heart. Find any wicked way within me. And to lead me into the way of everlasting. It's one thing tonight to be wrong with each other. But it's another thing to be wrong with God. Can I say it like this tonight? You can't be right with God and wrong with me. It don't work that way. God, get the dung out of my life. God, help me appreciate the valley. God, help me run to the old. That's how we're going to build. That's how we're going to work. And I promise you, church, it works. And let's just trust God. Let's lean on Him tonight. If you need help tonight, He's here ready to help. He can do the unimaginable. The Bible says, with faith, all things are possible with God. Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. Lord, just to hear that name tonight, Lord, is sweet to my heart. Lord, as I think about You and I think about what You've done for us, Father, You are gracious and You are precious. Lord, tonight we ask You now, Lord, to help us to understand these gates and make them to be applying to us. We know there are real gates in Nehemiah's day. And yet they were used for a purpose and for a reason. It was separating and dividing them from the world. And tonight, these gates as well for us as a Christian. God, that we would repair and would build up. So that when we walk out of here tonight, Lord, we can walk in confidence and security. Knowing, Lord, that all things are well with our soul. And God, that we can live this next week for Your glory and for Your honor. And God, that You'll bring blessings on our homes. On our children, in our lives. May Your hand tonight, dear God, be upon us. May You help us along the way as we strive to build these gates. The sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate. God, that You'll be pleased in our work. And God, together we'll do it together. God, that You can use this. Use this little old church in glory at Glory Baptist Church. Over here, set off into Stafford. Back in the back, dear God, where nobody sees. Would You raise us up to win the lost and to turn this little city upside down. Lord, may You be magnified and Christ be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.